This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, 20th January 2022, 7:06 in the morning with me, Kusu Chuang, with Philip C. Now, let's look at how global markets closed yesterday.
Oh, it was terrible. I think there was a lot of downward pressure in the US. Dow and S&P 500 were down 1%. NASDAQ was down 1.2%. Asian markets were relatively mixed. The Nikkei was down 2.8%. Hang Seng up marginally 0.06%. Shanghai Composite down 0.3%. STI up 0.1%. And back home, FBM KLCI down 0.8%.
And on to discuss what's happening in global markets, we now welcome Tony Nash, the Chief Executive of Complete Intelligence. Tony, NASDAQ down 8.3% year-to-date. It's been a bit of a bloodbath. How concerned should equity investors be at this point in time, especially those that are heavily into tech companies?
Yeah, if they're heavily invested in tech companies, they should be very concerned. You know, when interest rates rise, it's a signal that there should be rotation out of technology. And that's clearly what's going on. So if we look at Apple, for example, Apple was down over 2% today. They've had a really hard time recovering the kind of $180 a share peak they hit in early December. So, you know, people have known for a month and a half now, well, definitely over a month, that there's been a rotation out of tech. So we expect headwind for several months until we get a clear indication of the path that the Fed's going to undertake and how steeply they're going to raise rates and start to tighten their balance sheet.
Do you think the markets have priced in all the rates hikes are planned?
I think markets are trying to figure out what rates they're going to do. I mean, there's, you know, gossip right now that they're going to raise 50 basis points in March, which would be
wow.
Probably an overshoot, but that's part of the reason you're seeing such volatility in equities right now is people aren't really sure, and it's a debate. It's an ongoing debate. So where do you put your money? Well, you look at commodities. You look at commodity companies, energy companies, more traditional, say, manufacturing, not durable goods. People really stocked up on durable goods over the last 2 years, but other types of manufacturing companies could be interesting.
And Tony, we'll talk about oil in just a second, but where do you think the funds are flowing? I know it's a liquid activity, but where are the funds flowing away from tech into?
Well, you know, there's some, like if you look at Walmart, there's some very reliable, say, retail names that they're going into. If you look at some of the resource plays, like Gold Fields was up almost 13% today. Vale was up 4.5%. So some of these commodity plays are really intercepting those gains.
That's right. And of course, talking about commodities, oil is on a tear, 13% higher for Brent at $88. West Texas is up 15% to $87. What are the key drivers behind this upward trajectory beyond, obviously, you know, this market-driven flows, Tony?
Yeah, I mean, part of it is the rotation in the market. There are some supply constraints that have been talked about and kind of been undertaken over the past week with some activities in Iraq, between Iraq and Turkey, Libya, and there are some political risks, of course, Kazakhstan, Ukraine, and other places. But, you know, our view is that oil's really kind of topped out for this run. There's potentially a little more upside, but we don't necessarily expect oil to take a run at, say, $100 right now. We expect a little bit of a pullback. Certainly later in the year, we expect much higher crude prices.
But do you think this will have any short-term impact on, like, the travel industry then, and airlines particularly?
Well, yes, of course. I mean, it depends on what happens with jet fuel and the magnitude of the rise with jet fuel. But gosh, airlines are contending with enough problems already as it is. So I think for them, it's just kind of another headwind to kind of throw in their pocket.
And Tony, yeah, China, moving into China, and of course, they are pursuing a zero COVID policy. They've locked down key shipping ports like in Ningbo. You know, obviously, the global supply chain problems have been exacerbated by that. So what measures can countries outside China do, for example, you know, in ASEAN, to alleviate these issues in the short and long term? Oh, I think that's a technology issue.
Sorry, guys.
Yeah, go on then.
Sorry, guys. No, that's my technology issue. I apologize. We've had these COVID issues for about 2 years now. And I think the real problem there is policy uncertainty. And some of these policies are becoming quite dangerous. They were very understandable early in the pandemic. But as we've started to recognize the issues, these things really need to be tightened down. So, for example, I think the best thing, or we think the best thing countries outside of China could do is accept COVID as endemic and convince China that it's now endemic. Why is that important? Well, we've really been in a bunker mentality, and we can't really stay in that for another 2, 5, or 10 years. So if we look over the past day or so, the UK and Denmark have both announced normalization over the next week. And that's ending things like work from home, ending vaccine requirements and passports, that sort of thing. The impact will be social, it will be economic, and of course there will be political benefits. So the only reason these politicians are moving in that direction is because they're getting such political pressure to unwind the requirements that they're finally doing it. So, you know, if China, because China is the center of global supply chains, there has to be political pressure for China to normalize, because supply chain constraints are affecting every country. And so, you know, this is something that really needs to happen now. If China will not normalize, if they continue to close factories and ports, then companies just need to move their supply chains closer to their consumption countries. And I say just, that's a very complicated activity, but they've certainly had 2 years to start preparing to move those things. So they should accelerate those plans.
And, you know, Tony, keeping on the theme of unwinding and going back to normal, I guess many would say, you know, increasing interest rates would be kind of normalizing. But I wonder what the implications will be for, you know, countries like Brazil, Egypt, Argentina, South Africa and Turkey, you know, who are potentially vulnerable to rising U.S. rates. What's your assessment on that?
Yeah, it's going to be hard for them. These are countries with weak and volatile currencies, Turkish lira, Brazil real. So, you know, I do in Asia, I worry particularly about the Thai baht and the rupiah in Indonesia. I think they're both vulnerable to rate hikes. I think part of what we're witnessing is a transition from government-led, say, planning. And, you know, for the last 2 years, we've all looked to government for leadership on this stuff. And I think we're starting to see a transition toward private sector leadership, at least in developed countries, at least in the West. And so, you know, those private sector companies will feel that currency volatility in their operations in countries like Indonesia, Thailand, Turkey, and so on and so forth. So it's not going to be painless for those governments, for the people in those countries, or for the companies that operate there.
Tony, delightful to have you on again. Thank you so much for your time. That was Tony Nash, Chief Executive of Complete Intelligence. I don't know if you're an investor this year. I mean, what do you do? We're just literally 20 days into the new year and it's been tumultuous, right?
I mean, it's choppy waters. I mean, you look at year to date, right? All down, I think, S&P 500, Dow Jones, NASDAQ, all like NASDAQ down 8% year to date.
Yeah, but bear in mind, they had a humongous last 11 years, right? So they've seen the market caps explode. A bit of correction isn't bad for the soul sometimes, but you just wonder where's the end in sight, right?
Correct. I mean, the debate is, I think earnings expect to be robust, but the issue is here, valuations.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.